Jerry Griffith Show is underway for Wednesday, April 1st. No fooling. This is a serious show. And it's brought to you by Hilbing Auto Body. Remember, if it happens to you, take it to Hilbing. Chuck Bevelheimer has seated himself in the WT80 studio, but we are observing social distancing. But I tell you what, Chuck, when you started working on the U.S. Census 2020 about a year ago, I don't think you could have possibly thought, what could go wrong? We're going to worry about, you know, minorities not answering the census, displaced persons, young people. These are all going to be problems, but we never thought about a rampant infection that might keep people at a social distance. This is just unprecedented, isn't it?
Well, as a city planner and thinking about planning for the future, having a pandemic in the middle of a census is not the plan.
No, but the good news is because of new technology, we can do it over our computers.
Yes, the good news is that we were thinking ahead in terms of having a digital response this time around. That was the federal plan.
Get much closer. Yeah, move the microphone to you if you want to.
That's the federal plan, and we took advantage of that by accessing some state grants to establish a digital response, and we were able to develop a media market plan, marketing plan, based on that digital response, and so we do have a lot of tools in place, which I think is helping our response right now.
Okay. And, of course, we had all these computer banks that were going to be set up everywhere for people to use, and that may still come into play once this is all over. We're also joined by the mayor of Quincy, Kyle Moore.
Good morning, Mary. I missed you last time.
I know. And you know what? I got to say, I've never been happier to see the mayor. Because were you listening to WTAD on Monday morning? The last time we had a... This is terrible. I'm not laughing, Kyle. But the last time we had a major disease outbreak in Quincy, it was the cholera epidemic. And the mayor called a special council meeting announce how they were going to handle it. And 11 days later, the mayor died of cholera. So
here I am, Mary.
Yeah, here you are.
You can't get rid of me that easy, Mary.
Social distancing was not in vogue back then.
Easy.
So I'm not trying to. I really hope that you don't. I hope you don't succumb to cholera.
Or
COVID-19 for that matter.
Love in the time of cholera. That was for you, Mary.
Thank you. But, Mr. Mayor, boy, if it was ever important to answer the census, this outbreak proves it, because a lot of probably they're looking at now how many ventilators do they need for those many people and how many masks and how much aid are we going to get. That's all based on what was collected 10 years ago and then modified over time. It's not like they let things just sit around. But a lot of what happens this month with this U.S. Census is going to see how we perform in the next 10 years.
Well, look at Quincy Transit Lines. Quincy Transit Lines is funded primarily based on, our census count. And they're so vital during these times. You know, they pick up, individuals who need to go to the doctor, who need to, go to work. They also right now are running meals out to people who need meals delivered to them. So Quincy Transit Lines is such a vital service for our community, and without a good census count, we're likely to lose some funding for that.
I didn't realize that the Transit Lines was actually in the meal delivery service. Tell me more about that.
Well, it's repurposed right now. So as we've seen ridership on our elderly and disabled routes decline as people are deciding to stay home, which is a good thing. We have, some buses that have time available to them, so we are working with the food committee to say, if you've got food that needs to be delivered somewhere, we have buses and we have drivers, so let's all work together.
Well,
so that's just
great.
During this time right now that we're doing that.
This, again, I don't think you can say enough for our community about how we have pulled together. I do like Roy Webb's quote about how to transition from a classroom experience to an online experience with about 2 weeks' notice. It's like building an airplane when it's flying at 10,000 feet. You just hope the wings stay on. But the census, again, is critical. And because we can fill it out over the phone, we can mail our response back in, or we can fill it out over the computer, we don't have to wait for that enumerator to come knocking on our door. Because at this point in time, the chance an enumerator is going to come knocking on anyone's door, Chuck Bevelheimer, is pretty low, right?
Yes, they're actually pushing back their plans and their schedules for at least a couple of weeks. It'll probably be more like a month now as this time starts to expand from, 2 weeks out to a month. So the next really timeline that I see, based on the information I've been given, is April 8th to the 16th. The paper copy questionnaires will be going out to those folks who have not responded digitally online yet. So if you've not responded and you're waiting for the actual paper copy to come out between April 8th and 16th, the hard copies will be coming out to those folks who don't wanna, who are not online, who don't have access to a computer. They can still respond. Paper copy, it should be coming to your household, and you can respond that way. That'll probably, hopefully, be the next time we see a big surge in the response rate. Although, I must admit, Quincy and Adams County is right now leading the state.
Yeah.
We're above 50% response rate. We're at 52.4% response rate, and the state as a whole is at 39.4. So we're doing good, but we got a long way to go, and we really think we should be able to get beyond 80% up in the 90% range with a response rate for Quincy and Adams County.
And I want to, you know, I want to give a little kudos to our advertising efforts. The city was able to hire an advertising firm to help with this, and they've done a bang-up job. Their materials have been fantastic, and I am almost sick of seeing census commercials, because now that paid commercials have started to disappear, it's like Steve and I are like, shall we play another census commercial? Why not? You know, why not? We've got nothing else to play. But it just goes to show, you think, well, who wouldn't know about the census, but apparently, there are some people who don't understand you've got to fill out the census.
Well, we want to remind folks, you know, I think a lot of times people put that postcard, you know, in their junk drawer or on a countertop. And, you know, now's the time while you're sitting at home to reach back in that and fill it out real quick. Or also, you know, we have in Quincy a lot of snowbirds. So if you know somebody who's still in Arizona, still in Florida, still in California, and you're talking to them on the phone or on social media, ask them, have they filled out their census? Because they may not have gotten it because they, you know, are away from their original mailbox. So we want to make sure those snowbirds are aware of it as well.
And we want those snowbirds to answer that they live in Quincy, Illinois,
that's
not
right.
Naples, Florida.
That's right.
Okay. And that's always a huge conundrum, because you should put down where your primary residence is, where you vote, where you receive most of your services. And, you know, that obviously some people have two or even three homes. But there is still one place where they register to vote. There still is one place where they consider it their primary residence. And if Quincy is that primary residence, they need to count Quincy, because we need the money probably more than Phoenix or Naples.
Absolutely. And, and for those folks who did not get the postcard, which has their nine-digit response, they can actually still go online at 2020census.gov and do it by address. So there is a way to do it. You can go online. You can do it via your address, or if you want and you don't want to mess with the computer, you can call the census at 1-844-330-2020. 1-844-330-2020.
And I imagine those phone lines will be somewhat jammed today, but keep that number in hand. We'll keep saying it, and just make sure that you answer the census. Mayor Moore, I put Mr. Bevelheimer on the spot last month with this question from a WTAD listener. They said, okay, it says in the U.S. Constitution there shall be a census every 10 years, but where does it say in the Constitution I have to give you my name, my sex, my whatever? You know, he said, if you just want to count me as a human being, why can't you just say humanoid living here? What is your take on that, being of the Republican constitutional kind of party, defender of the original interpretation of the Constitution? Do we have a constitutional right to ask people their name on the U.S. Census?
Well, here's why I'm going to tell you it's important for people to answer that, because we use a lot of demographic information to help us make decisions, to help us make decisions as a community. So are we an aging community, and what's going to be the needs of that population in the next 10 or 20 years? Are we, for an example, are we going to have a lot of influx in our public schools, our parochial schools, if we know that we have a lot of infants that are in our community more than usual? We also use that demographic information to help market our community. And so when we can tell businesses or retailers, this is the demographics of our community, this is the buying power of our community, you know, that helps tell our story. And so while I'm not a constitutional lawyer, I can't answer that question, I can tell you it is important for us as community leaders to help us make decisions.
Okay, and so it's kind of like everything else. If that's a hill you want to die on, then take it to court. But for the average person, it is not some nefarious thing that they're trying to extract all this personal information. In fact, the questions they ask are very nebulous. Now, I remember in the old days, didn't there, and there maybe still is, a long version. They would ask you, like, what kind of house you had and how much money you made and, you know, whether you like to wear, you know, go-go boots or, you know, sandals. I don't know. But those That's not what this census is all about.
This is 5 or 10 minutes of your time to respond to the census. There is the American Community Survey that the Census Bureau puts out periodically that is a sample of the population. That's the long-form survey, but that's not what this is about. This is the 10-year, every decade census, which, of course, the $675 billion in federal funds that gets distributed every year goes back to the states and the cities and the counties. It's also important for reapportionment and identifying the representation in D.C. at the state level for our congressional districts. So that's how everything's determined. And by December 1st of this year, the president is supposed to have a report of the population, and then the congressional districts are redrawn.
And it's very important for Illinois because we probably will lose a congressman. So we have to make as many people report as possible so that downstate Illinois is fully represented as much as possible.
Mary, even closer to home, if you want to make sure your state rep is not traveling to 15 counties, if you want to make sure your state senator is not representing 30 counties, even your aldermen. So we redraw our aldermanic boundaries based on population as well. We'll do that in the following year after we get the census. If you want to make sure your alderman is living closer to your neighborhood than on the other side of town, then you need to answer the census, because the more people that we can count, essentially the better representation that we're going to have at the local, the state, and the federal level.
Well, I know that there has been some talk about reworking the city council, making it a nonpartisan election, and possibly even changing the number of representatives or aldermen or alderwomen. And so this, again, the census will be critical if those things are talked about. It'll be this data that determines what does a ward look like. Will we have 7 wards? Are we going to go to 10 wards? Are we going to go to 3?
Even if nothing changes. I remember that in the 3rd ward, Mary, where you live at, when I was a city councilman, that was in the 3rd ward, and now it's not.
I know, you used to be my council member.
Yeah, because of population change.
And he didn't want me anymore, so he drew it down my street.
That's why I ran for mayor. I wanted to continue to represent you, Mary.
I know. He said, if I can't represent Mary Griffith personally, I just don't have any reason
but
to
But that
live.
Tells you just personally how that changes based on the census right there.
Absolutely. I live in the 1st ward now, mm-hmm. and, again, I love the 1st ward, but it's kind of interesting because I didn't move, the ward moved. So there will be changes definitely out of this census, and we don't want to have fair representation. And so areas of Quincy that are growing, you will see different boundaries, and areas of Quincy that are depopulating could be kind of tough for you. So again, make sure, especially, and I think the 1st and 7th wards, that is a harder area to count. Those people are kind of on the at risk for not being counted. And, 1st ward, let's get counted. 7th ward, let's get counted. Everybody needs to be counted equally, or we're not going to have equal representation.
That's right.
Okay. So that's pretty big. Another thing that I want to discuss with you guys, and Chuck, we'll get to your agenda in a moment on the Mary Griffith Show, because I know you have a lot of stuff to talk about, but I have to pull up all these things just to blindside. I didn't know you were coming today. I put all my venom towards Bevelheimer. Now I've got to even it out. My brother lives in Dallas, Texas, and the census there obviously will be taking place today as well. But over the years, at fast-growing populations, they do those little miniature counts where they kind of think. Dallas, Texas, in the last 10 years, has grown by 1.2 million people. That's 250,000 people a year. That means, think about this. My brother lives in a town that 6 Quincy's, were formed in his same town every year he's lived there over 10 years. It is amazing. And one of the things my brother does complain about Dallas, Texas is lack of infrastructure, lack of roads, lack of this, lack of that, because they're basing a lot of that on numbers from 10 years ago. And that's why they're getting updated numbers to try to put more money in that area. But Dallas, Texas is the hottest growing area, the number one area of growth, the number one city of growth in the last 10 years, followed by Houston. Austin, Texas grew by 500,000 people in the last 10 years. And Phoenix has grown so fast that it's knocked Boston off the list of the top 10. So we're really seeing a change. You know, Chicago's still third, mm-hmm. Los Angeles is still second, and New York still one. But 4 through 15 are shuffling, mm-hmm. as people move from the north to the south. And that's why Quincy considered kind of a Rust Belt area. We have got to get counted, or Dallas, Texas, Houston, and Austin are going to suck us dry.
Well, even if you look at what's happening in Illinois, where more people are moving from Chicago, but also to the collar counties, the collar counties are growing in population. If you talk about road funds, and especially how we're divided between Chicago and downstate, if we don't get counted, more of our dollars are going to get sent to the collar counties, which I think from downstate we say, you know what, they get a lot of money. They're growing. They're doing well. But us downstate, we're often forgot. You know, that's the Forgottonia, mm-hmm. mantra. But I tell you what, we need to make sure everybody gets counted so we can make sure our road funds and things from the state come down here and get spent down in Quincy and Adams County.
Remember when we used to hate Russia, now we hate China? We used to hate Cook County, now we hate King County and Lake County, you know. So there's always somebody to hate. We're talking today about the U.S. Census, and today is Census Day. My gosh, when we scheduled this, Chuck Bevelheimer, months ago, that you were going to be on the Mary Griffith Show on
right.
Census Day, we could not have imagined how much COVID-19 was going to change everything. But fortunately, and the good news is, you don't have to talk to a fellow human being to fill out the census. You can do it online or by paper, or if you want to pick up the phone, which doesn't transmit the COVID-19,
absolutely,
you can do it that way. So for those who have not yet done it, and 52% of Adams County residents have, for those who have not yet done it, if you've been waiting for today, okay, do it today, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And you can still respond. Just because April 1st is
right.
Census Day, that's more symbolic than anything. The census continues, and the Census Bureau will continue to collect data up through the end of July. So you can continue to do that, and I suspect that date may be even postponed because of COVID-19. But the important thing people have to understand is that they need to be counted, because every person represents about $1,400 in funding that the city and county will miss out on if they're not counted. So over a decade, that's $14,000. And that's a huge amount to our social service agencies. It's a huge amount to our health care system. It's a huge amount for senior care system. So the Meals on Wheels that we talk about, it's the education for the teachers, it's the free and reduced lunch programming. The mayor mentioned the Quincy Transit Lines, which gets a federal subsidy to operate. All those programs operate based on an accurate population count. And if we lose out on even 10% of the population, that's a significant number of dollars. And at $14,000 per person, it's huge to the city and the county.
Okay. We're going to take a break. When we come back, our conversation with Mayor Kyle Moore and with Quincy City Planner Chuck Bevelheimer continues. And I'm sure we'll ask the mayor some questions about the new normal at City Hall until this COVID-19 pandemic passes.
You fill up my senses, come fill me again.
Little John Denver with You Fill Out My Census, and yes, the official song of the United States Census Bureau. A lady called while we were in break, and she said last August she got one of the long forms, and she filled it out. It took her 45 minutes. She put down everything they wanted to know, and she mailed it in. Does she still have to fill out the short form census?
Yes.
Yes, I told her yes.
Thank you.
So, in my official capacity as a member of the Census Committee, I didn't wait for Chuck Bevelheimer,
that's right, you
my
knew.
A lofty board president, to tell me. We are laughing. If I am alive in 10 years, I demand to be appointed to the Census Committee because I want to be the longest serving.
Four.
This is my third one. If
wow.
I, you know, I figure, you know, I'm going to be the Virgil Gale of the Census Bureau.
There
you know,
you go.
I want to be, you know, I want to be there till the very last
there
moment.
You go.
There you go.
Well, you have all that wisdom and history.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it really is amazing. Remember when Postle Q, you're too young, Kyle.
Yeah.
Remember when Postle Q had to be invented? Person of the opposite sex sharing
yep.
living quarters. Because they didn't know what to call people that live together.
You're
as my parents would say, in sin. They had to come up with Postle Q. So that became, would you like to meet my Postle Q?
I'm learning new things.
You're
every
learning
day,
new
Mary.
Things,
new
Kyle.
Yes.
The mayor of Quincy can't have Apostle Q. We have a higher standard that we expect from you. Let's shift the conversation away from the census to maybe something a little bit more timely, and that is congratulations to the city of Quincy. I know the school board felt this way about the property tax hike. You know, the state should do it, but in absence that they're not going to give us money, we have to do it on our own. The City Council approved this loan program, this $500,000 that will be sent out into our community to hopefully trickle around and rescue, especially restaurants or a few other places. Mayor Moore, the purpose of this is truly kind of a rescue, kind of bailout, kind of get it going, stimulus immediately package. Who's going to qualify for this, and who are the ideal people, ideal businesses to apply for this?
Sure. If there are small businesses who have been hit because they've been deemed non-essential and, you know, had to shutter their doors, they're essentially the target market that we're looking for. And that's to say that we understand that there's probably some state and federal aid that are available to them. But state and federal aid may not be approachable. Long forms and something they've never done before. So we wanted to have a very approachable program where it's two pages. That's all you need to fill out. It's an 18-month loan at 1%. The first 6 months is a grace period, and you can get up to $10,000 to help pay for things like your mortgage or lease. Let's say that you purchased a lot of inventory a day before the closure and you've got some debt on that, or perhaps that you want to keep people employed. This can help you with that, and it's really designed to be almost a bridge loan if you are waiting for state or federal aid, because we know that could take 21 days up to a number of months to really help get them by. So the applications are online at quincyil.gov/SBELF. And you can fill out the application. Our first meeting is next Wednesday, and then checks could essentially be into the hands of those businesses the following week. So this is a quick turnaround time.
But it's limited to $10,000 maximum help, so right. Only 50 businesses at most will qualify, although that's quite a bit for a town our size. And so it's really incumbent upon people not to delay, because I imagine you'll run out of money before you run out of applications.
I hope that we don't, because that means the need is much bigger than what we think. But then again, the City Council is determined to do whatever we can to help out residences and businesses during these difficult times. And they've told Chuck and I, if we need to do additional money, we can. Because we do have an additional about $1.2 million in this fund that we can utilize. So I think kudos to City Council. They were given this program on a Wednesday and voted on it on Monday. And they're all signed up for doing whatever we can to make life a little bit easier for our businesses and residents during these difficult times.
Let's talk about this money. Where did it come from? And if this hadn't happened, what would you have been using it for?
Chuck? Well, these are actually dollars that the city utilized and received back in the 80s when we were working with the Cummins and the Quincy Development Center. When Cummins left Quincy, they were going to replace the Motorola plant, and there was a $6.2 million urban development action grant given to the city, and we used that money to help backfill the Quincy Development Center, which is what it's now called. And that money has actually been utilized to establish a revolving loan fund, and we've done about 110 loans for manufacturing, wholesale, and distribution business over the years. We also use that same pot of money to seed the Central Business District Revolving Loan Fund, and we've done about 55 loans from that over the years, and that's got about $1 million balance on it. So we had about $1.8 million in our economic development loan fund, and the mayor, when we talked about it, we said, let's take 500 of that, about a third of that, and let's make it available to small business as emergency assistance.
Well, so it's money we've always had. It's been being lent out, loaned out, and people have been repaying it.
Absolutely.
And the fund kind of, if everybody is good to their word and repays it, and I'm sure you have some loss because you're the lender kind of last resort, so you're going to take a little bit more risk in trying to be economic development. But, I would assume that most of these 50 businesses, let's pray they survive and they will eventually re-thrive, and this money will get back in, and then you'll still have the same amount of money. So it's not like you're giving away $500,000. You're just loaning it to people saying, we have it now, you need it now, we'll take it back over a period of time at 1% interest.
We recognize it's risk capital. We recognize we're going to have some bad loans, but our hope is, by doing due diligence with the committee who's reviewing it, that we will be able to make emergency loans to as many businesses as we can.
Okay. What's it like in the planning and development department? Are people still planning and developing things, or has that kind of come to a screeching halt?
Well, we had a lot of things in the hopper. The mayor's, the 45 by 30 program was moving forward, and we had a number of projects, RFQs and RFPs we were putting together. We put those on pause, and we switched our gears now to looking at this small business loan assistance and processing applications, developing the program, developing the forms, developing the legal documents that has to support the program. We're also trying to make sure we have our hands around the state's Small Business Stabilization Grant Program, which is a $25,000 grant to small businesses. That's being administered through the city and in the county to help small businesses as well. So there are a number of programs out there that we're trying to grab, get our hands on, understand, explain to the public, and help the public with applications.
And Mayor Moore, as if the city wasn't having a few financial problems of its own, you have decided not to collect the 1% food and beverage tax. Why insult injury, you know? And sales tax will probably be down. And so we are looking at starting the next fiscal year. Here you probably had your budget pretty much in line. Everything was okay. And then something completely out of the blue, and it could have been anything. It could have been a tornado that destroyed our town. At least this will pass over, and we'll still have our structures intact. But COVID-19 is one of those things where you've always preached about a rainy day fund. Mm-hmm. But what is the next year going to look like in Quincy as far as city government? Because you didn't hardly have enough money to run the joint anyway, and now you're going to have less money.
Yeah, it's going to be devastating for us as a city and every governing body throughout the nation. And so what we're going to do is we're really going to take this in phases. And this first phase is adopting this fiscal year budget, making some changes, tightening our belts when it comes to this fiscal year. And our fiscal year runs until the end of April, just for folks at home. And then use May, June, and July to have internal dialogue about what services are essential, what aren't, what are some things that we can do a little bit different, and then start looking at that revenue as it comes in. How much has it fallen? Because we're really dealing right now with the great unknown. We don't know what sales tax looks like when 6 weeks, your community is shut down for 6 weeks. Because a lot of people say, well, the grocery stores are booming, but we don't collect the home rule sales tax on a lot of things that you buy at the grocery store.
Yeah, it's only like a 1% or 2% tax on
most
stuff you buy at the
and
grocery
so
store.
We're really going to use the second phase of this to monitor what these revenues are going to look like. And then the following 6 months are going to be difficult. And I've talked to the city council about this, that as most people are returning back to normal, what we hope, May 1st is the end date of this, and we can at least start going out again. People in December and January are not going to want to talk about COVID-19, but yet we as city leaders are going to be dealing with the financial implications of that and the new normal, because it's not like if you lose 20 to 15% of your revenue in 1 year, it's not like it's magically going to come back the next year 100%. And so we're really going to have to talk about that budget being sustainable. And I think it's going to be a long conversation, a difficult one, but I think that in the end, hopefully, if we do it right as leaders, we can make sure that our budget is sustainable for the new fiscal realities of the day, and we're not having that same conversation every year about we need money and we're upside down in our expenses versus revenue.
The other problem is you've signed contracts with city employees that are multi-year contracts. So if, I'm a city worker and it said in 2021 I was going to get a 2% raise, I want it. But is there anything in those contracts that say, well, now let's be reasonable, if we, an act of God or a non-act of God, whatever, I'm not blaming God for this, but so will that be on the table, or are those contracts and that's what you're expected to do?
Mary, I don't want to really answer that, but I can tell you that...
Gee, I couldn't tell by your body language.
Yeah.
I've never seen you cross your arms and crush your legs so tightly.
Here's what I can tell you is that, everybody's sacrificing right now, and we talked about this in the break. It's the folks that are working in the restaurants, the bartenders, the hairstylists, the tattoo artists, all these individuals are without work or working reduced hours, and all of us are going to feel it in some way. And that includes city services, and that includes folks that work for the city of Quincy. Now, I think we've done very well, during my administration of building up our reserves. Thank God during my first term that we had those reserves for the windstorm. And we're going to be thanking God now that we've got more reserves now to help us through this. But reserves can't be the only answer because we simply do not have enough to cushion this very, very big financial blow that we're going to receive.
So many people are in trouble, and I'm not pointing fingers and shaking my finger like, I told you so, But a lot of us are in trouble because we didn't take to heart, have 3 to 6 months of living expenses in the bank as a reserve. And a lot of cities are going to be in trouble and counties are going to be in trouble because they didn't have anything. Mm-hmm. They, you know, it's like, when's our next sales tax revenue check? We've got it spent as soon as we can. So this is going to be a year of austerity, mm-hmm. maybe 18 months of austerity heading forward. Some businesses will recover because if you're not a restaurant, the trouble with restaurants, they can't recover what they've lost because you're not going to go out and eat 20 meals for the 20 meals you didn't eat. Some other harder businesses will be able to recover because if you needed it in April, you still need it in October. You're just going to wait to buy it, but they'll still sell you it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is going to be interesting. I hope our little town can survive and thrive because this could be, you know, a huge game changer. It's kind of your flood of 93, Kyle Moore. This is a test of character for the leadership of our community.
Well, Mary, I think that you know better than anybody that our town thrives under tough circumstances. And I tell you what, I've seen so many people be willing to go to the grocery store to help out an elderly neighbor. I see the number of volunteers that call the United Way helpline wanting to help. You know, I see the number of leaders coming together throughout Adams County that are really trying to look you know, proactively about what we can do, and let's think what's going to hit us 2 and 3 and 6 months down the line and work together on that. So, you know, I think that if we do this right, I think we're going to come out stronger for it. Our governments are going to be ready for tougher financial times. We're going to be able to deliver more efficient services. And I think, you know what, as a society, we're going to appreciate one another once again. You know, we were all, you know, in, even in public, looking at our phones and doing these things and wanting to be in our own little bubble. And now people can't wait to see people. And I think the next time that there's blues in the district, people are going to be excited to go there. And I think it's going to be a rejuvenation of a lot of things here in the city of Quincy and Adams County.
Yeah, a lot of hermits are happy, but, you know, the rest of us need social contact. Chuck Bevelheimer, we're going to give you the last word, and it's going to be about the census. I guess one of the things you could say, you know, I remember after 9/11, George Bush said, you know, try to live your life as normal as possible. Keep doing the things you always do. That's how we'll get through this terrorism threat to our community. In a way, if you want to fight COVID-19 in Quincy, one of the ways you can do it, or anywhere you're listening, all over the tri-states, every town needs to be counted. Fill out the census. It's kind of an act of let's get counted so the next time something like this happens, they'll know how many people here are impacted.
Absolutely. You know, you have to be counted. Every person counts, no matter how young or how old. Where they are today is the time to count that person in that household. All you have to do is go to 2020census.gov. It takes 5 minutes to respond, maybe 10 minutes if you have, you know, more kids in the family, but count all the kids. Everybody needs to be counted.
Okay. Get everybody counted. Support your local city government. And for God's sakes, people, if you can buy something local, do it. I know it's easy to sit at home and click Amazon, but these businesses that are still open would be happy for you to call them. They'll greet you at the door and hand you your package. It's really not brain surgery. We need to buy as much stuff in our local communities as possible and keep these businesses around for the decades to come. Thank you both, Mayor Moore and Chuck Bevelheimer.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mary.